All right, so welcome everyone. Nice to see you all. Like I said, lots of folks traveling, but good to have you all. Good to have you all. So this is absolutely a unique day for us, guys. To any guests here, this is not what we typically do, but you caught us at a time, an important time for any church body. We're going to be clearing up the muddy waters of baptism today. We have folks interested in being baptized, and when you get folks that are looking to be baptized, you drop everything and you do it. You know what I mean? You might recall I got a phone call on a Thursday a little while ago. Hey, I got these two kids that want to be baptized, and I poured water over their head right over here. I don't say no to that. You know what I mean? That's the biblical model. But you know what, guys? Just like anything else throughout life, if you're just kind of living in a culture, sometimes you can get some misinformation or misunderstandings about what something is. Does that make sense? Other things come in, or somebody says something. Is that biblical? Is it not? So what we're going to do today is we're going to take a biblical look at this. I promise it won't be boring, and lots of folks are going to actually really need to hear this today. Next week, we are baptizing. Okay, there's going to be an inflatable 8-foot from Big Lots to a pool right over there. We're dunking. Yes, we're doing full submersion. We'll make it work, man. We've got a week to figure out exactly how it's going to work with tarps and not getting water all over the place, but we'll make it happen. It's an important thing, and we're going to look at it right now in throughout the Word. So when it comes to biblical topic of baptism, we all come in with our own individual ideas or beliefs about what it is, what it means, and who it applies to. So the purpose of today is just to clear it up, guys, so to make it clear for everybody individually in our own hearts. For example, do you know that the term baptism is actually not even a Christian term? Did you know that? It's not Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Catholic. It's not even Christian in its origin. Baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it means just to dunk, dip, plunge, or submerge. In other words, if you took a ladle, you could baptizo it into spaghetti sauce, let's say, okay? So it's not actually a Christian term like you might think it is. The first time we see the term being used in religious circles comes from the Jewish culture, which talked about ceremonial washing, okay? So it served as a pledge of allegiance when Jews wanted to come. But anyway, for us, we're going to see this. We see the act of baptism connected with repentance, faith, and a life change for the first time we see it through John the Baptist. You know what John the Baptist was doing, right? All right, get this. I don't want to get shackled to my script. I do that. You ever notice that? If I spend a lot of time like this? So John the Baptist shows up and he's got his message. It's be careful in the Bible to ever just focus on one thing. The Bible is a living, breathing body of work, okay? So John the Baptist shows up and he's got one job. It's to yell, and he was kind of kooky took a little bit, right? But he had a mission. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And go figure, Jesus was on his way, y'all. Dun, 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 dun. Come on, right? John the Baptist had one thing. He said, you know what the word repent means, guys? Oh, I can't wait to break this off you. Yeah. Repent, you guys think it means piety on the ground like a whipped dog, right? Repent, repent. Repent means change the way you think about everything because the kingdom of God is near. All right? In other words, the way you approach God, you gotta throw it away because it's coming. It's coming. Oh, wait, there he is. There he is. So repent. Throw out the religious garbage and the stuff that you think is truth. It's not. Change the way you think to the way he thinks. Good or what? And you know what? I'll tell you what. That helps me. Because if you come at me and you beat me up about something and tell me I need to repent, I need to repent, I need to repent, that's not a motivation for me to listen to anything you're saying. Honestly, and take this with you for your family members and stuff. But if you can say this, I see what you're doing, but you know, there's a different way to think about what you're going through. There's a different way to do that. People listen to that, don't they? Repent is a change of direction. In fact, you know what? Let's do this, because I just came up with this. The word sin is actually not strictly in the Bible either. The word sin initially appeared in literature as an archery term. Some of you have heard me say this before. Sin meant to hit anywhere on the target besides the bullseye. That's what sin meant. So when you sin, in the Christian sense, it's to do anything besides God's purpose for you and best, to go out of bounds. See that? To miss the mark for your life that God set for you. So what do you do if you miss the mark? Change direction. Oh, anybody getting this? Come on. All right, just gun guys for a second. Whew, missed it. What do I do? Adjust. adjust it so I can hit that bullseye. Now, what does that mean? It means that I got to adjust my line of thinking to maybe hit the bullseye for my best life. Oh, there it is. My best marriage, my best parenthood, my best church membership, my best friendship, right? That's what we're talking about here. And all of a sudden, baptism comes along. John the Baptist has one message. He says, change the way you think because something's coming. Change it. Change it. People show up and go, hey, you know what? You know what, man? We're just going to roll with this. We're going to roll with this. This isn't the message, but can any of us be honest sometimes when you walk into something like that, somebody, and John the Baptist, let's say, is saying, change the way you think about things. And you come to a point where you realize, I will because it's not working. You understand what I'm saying? So you get the John the Baptist in your life that stands there and says, look, there's a better way to do things that's true, right, and best through Jesus. And some of us, this is our stories. We encountered it and we said, thank heavens, because I just know that what I'm doing is not working. And that's it. And they lined up for John the Baptist and said, what else is there? There's got to be something more. Anybody ever felt that before? I remember that, man. And I've been walking with Christ since I was 17. Ups and downs, highs and lows. But I remember that. I remember sitting there going, there's got to be something else. And all of a sudden comes John the Baptist and says, here's how you get to here. You change the way you think about everything. Throw it away. Throw it away. Cast it off. Repent. Change direction. And and we'll talk about this in a second. He says, and be baptized. This is in contrast to what religion had become, okay? Something hugely significant took place when Jesus signified the beginning of something new, because Jesus himself was baptized, right, guys? I mean, and Dave brought up a good point. We were dialoguing about it, because a lot of this is some of his material. I'm not going to lie to you. When we're talking about baptism, we're talking about a process of change the way you think about everything, change the way you think about things, and symbolically enter the waters of baptism. Do we follow me on this? I know I'm scatterbrained, but I want to give you as much as I can today. Did Jesus need to be baptized? Right. So Dave and I were talking about, why did Jesus say to John, baptize me? He had no sins that needed forgiving. Not that baptism does that for you. But, right? John must have looked at John. What did John say to him? Well, he says, no. You baptize me, bro. Like, you're the one who created all this and the water that we're in. That was your idea. 2 hydrogen, 1 oxygen. Yeah, it was all you, right? The River Jordan, this is your possession. You want me to baptize you? And we're going to learn something about this. We're going to learn that he did it as an example for us. Kind of like how a couple weeks ago I told you when God said, let light be, did he need to speak? No, but he taught you your mouth has power. He taught you your words have power. Lazarus, come forth. Didn't need to say it. He did it so that you know to speak through your hardships, right? Jesus entered the water of baptism saying, follow me. And it leads to the waters of baptism. And we're going to explore why, maybe. Who knows? Wheels are falling off, Dave. Who knows at this point? But why is baptism important? What's this next one? Because baptism symbolizes a new beginning. All right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's actually a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And baptism is simply symbolic of that. It's symbolic of that, of a new beginning. We are not the same. And you'll see this next slide. This is, we didn't merely turn over a new leaf. We begin a new life. And that's what it's symbolic. The waters of baptism are that way. Our hope has changed. Our role has changed. Our identity has changed. And even our purpose has changed. Now, some churches teach that you're baptized into the tradition or denomination. But the Bible teaches that when believers are baptized, they're baptized into the kingdom of God. Okay, let's do this next one, I think. Identities with Christ and not with an organized religion. So I'm not going to sit there and put anybody in the water and say, I baptized you for the Free Methodist Church. It's just not in the Bible, you guys. And I have to answer for that. So guess what? Not on your life. People are going to be baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God. And if tomorrow he sends you off to Guam to be, right? You're in the kingdom of God or membership to another church. Who cares? It's about the kingdom of God, and it's about you, and the symbolically starting an entirely new life. Our identity is in Christ, right? All right, so I don't know if this is page 2. What do we have next, Bri? There you go, I'm on schedule. Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his... So there you go. It doesn't say into a denomination or anything like that. We're baptized into Christ Jesus. But here's the thing. We're digging, piece by piece. We're baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, I'm okay. So we're gonna sit there. It's a small little pool, deal with it. We don't, you know what I mean? Right? But what do? You go down backwards and you come back up. Or maybe you raise back up. A buddy of mine was saying that a certain group would baptize forward. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because what I see is a symbolic burial. And I've never seen it. I've never seen a casket with somebody face down. Come on, that's funny. That was a weird thing. I think that's Grandpa. You know what I'm trying to say? Well, I don't mean to be crude. I'm just saying it doesn't make any sense. You go down. All right. Sorry. It's my weird sense of humor. You go down and symbolizing into his death. And guys, this is the word of God. Let's realize this. We are baptized into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. We're buried with him through baptism. And then just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. These aren't suggestions or ideas, guys. This is the Apostle Paul spending time with Christ himself and relaying this to us. This is what happens. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that God instituted. We're still building here, guys. Let's do the next one. Behavior always follows belief. If I believe that cutting carbs is going to make me get thinner, I'll do the behavior. Do you know what I'm trying to say? If I don't think it's going to help me, I'll eat all the carbs I want. If I believe that exercising will give me a better life and make me more fit, I will do it. Because behavior follows belief. And maybe that's one of the big things about baptism, guys. Maybe because something happens inward and that he gave us an outward expression of it, right? Belief changes in here, somewhere quietly, maybe in your house, maybe in your room, maybe sitting in these chairs, but then it has to go outward. It has to come to an outward symbolism here. Baptism is an outward act that symbolizes the inward work of God in the life of a believer. It's not the other way around, guys. And I think you actually, we don't have that just quite yet, but right? It's an outward act that symbolizes the inward work. And I don't know about you. Actually, most of you probably are not this way. I like when there's outward things I can do to express my inner. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like dancing. Me, you can ask these guys, spend time with us. Me, Alex, and Izzy pretty much dance all the time. It expresses my joy. There's something going on inside of me, and me and Alex, and we just start dancing in the room. And I like that. It kind of bubbles out of me, right? Well, when faith was born inside of me, it's nice that I have something to do with it, an outward act. Does that make sense? Are you hanging with me? Because it's just going to ramp up. I want to get difficult here. You know how I like to do things. I'll show you what baptism does not do. Ready? Baptism does not save you. And baptism does not cleanse you from sin. Get that. I'll back this up. Baptism does not save you. There's a thief hanging on the cross, guilty of what he had done, perishing. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you get into your kingdom. He says, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. If you can somehow get down, go find some water, come back, then you'll be with me in paradise, right? No, he didn't say that. Are you following me? Do you understand that? You got to get this. Baptism does not save you. People on the battlefield, you know what I mean? Receiving Christ Jesus. You're mortally wounded, dude. God is a good, good father. He does not put these things out. Oh, sorry. You didn't get baptized, right? You didn't do it. No, it does not. It's symbolic. It's a gift for you. It's obedience to God. It is not a prerequisite for salvation. It does not do that. And baptism does not cleanse you from sin. It would be so cool if it did. In fact, I've been baptized 3 times. I'll tell you the truth. I believe I was baptized as an infant. I don't even really know. I believe I was baptized as an infant. I don't see that biblically. So when I had a faith change inside of myself, I sought out baptism, just like I said, an outward act for an inward change. And I got sprinkly sprinkled. And I was like, cool, all right. That was nice. Then, I should have told you this later, but anyway. Then somebody was doing full submersion, and I was like, well, that's what I see in the Bible. And without controversy or anything like that, I was like, why not? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'll take an afternoon to go get baptized full submersion. And when the guy was about to baptize me, I said to him, I go, hold me down there for a while. I got a lot of stuff I got to... It's a joke because baptism does not cleanse you from sin. He would have had to hold me down there for a long time. You know, like respiratory arrest. But you know what I'm trying to say, guys. Baptism does not do this, guys. It does not cleanse you from sin. And again, it does not save you. Let's wade through some muddy waters, guys. Please hear me on this one. There's no record of infant baptism until 370 AD. That's 350 years pretty much after Christ came. And they people took this thing, and they did something else with it. They started baptizing infants. After the conversion of Constantine, the state and church became closely tied, and they started teaching infant baptism, became really popular, with the non-biblical teaching that it absolved infants from their sin. That's where it comes from, you guys, from Constantine, with the church and state teaching this. And then at 416 AD, infant baptism became compulsory. You had to do it. And it filled churches with non-believers who were baptized into favor with the government. Okay, come on, hear me. This is where this comes from. Not in the Bible. 3 centuries later, this is the origin of that. And then it's estimated that 50 million believers who took a stand against this during the dark ages of the church history were killed because they took a stand and they lost their lives under severe persecution for their stand against this non-biblical practice. So this infant baptism thing, that's where it comes from. And when people stood up for the word of God and said, hey, church, you're just trying to control people. You're tying it in with the government. That's wrong. They were murdered. So this is actually not a small deal or difference of opinion. No, people died over this. Okay, this is true. Episcopals, Lutherans, Catholics, and Reformed churches still teach what's called baptismal regeneration, meaning new life through baptism. Not coming at anybody, guys. I'm just giving you facts here. But as a result, even today, people are so disillusioned and filled with fear about this teaching because churches lord it over people. I've heard tons of stories. Not tons. Not going to lie to you. I've heard several stories locally of churches controlling people by saying, if you don't do this, I won't baptize your infant. And don't forget, if I don't, that infant won't go to heaven. You've never heard that? I've heard it a lot. Dave, you ever heard that? Wow, he's definitively nodding his head. What the what? Come on, man. Are you serious? For control? This is something, I'll get to this at the end, but this is God's thing. God did this. Baptize him. You know what I mean? Baptism. Go and be baptized. And human beings took it and found a way to manipulate other people. Isn't that crazy? That's like I told you before, the world yields enough food every day for someone to have, for everyone on the planet to have a 6,000 calorie diet, and yet there's kids starving. Because this is what we do to each other. We control, we manipulate, and we lie. Can I tell you something? That's wrong. To control people. I've heard things like this. If you don't go through the membership of this church, your kid won't be baptized. If you don't give us money, your kid won't be baptized. All sorts of stuff, guys. And like I said, this is no small matter. 50 million believers, 50 million people stood up against this and saw it for what it was, and they were murdered and lost their lives. So baptism, well, there's a dark side to it too. There's a real dark side. So what about the infant and child? I'll tell you what I believe, you guys. I believe that because he's a good, good father and a just judge, I didn't say it, he did. I believe that if something happens to a child or infant, though they're born in a sinful state, if they don't get to the age of accountability, where, I mean, their frontal lobes aren't even developed yet, you guys. You know what I mean? I believe if they die without the ability to make the decision for Christ, I believe his grace is more than enough for his children. How about the mentally handicapped? Come on, y'all. This good, good father of yours, what does he do? You know in your heart, don't you? What about Mumbuku, who's standing in Africa? That's a real name. And he never hears about Christ Jesus. These are questions you guys ask me. Well, go back to good, good father and go back to just judge. The measure given is the measure you, right? If Mumbuku looks at that tree and says, wow, it points toward heaven. Look at all these trees and the rocks, and it's amazing, and there must be creator and creation. That's all you had to work with, bro. Guys, use your heads at what you know about God, right? So, I got a baby. I got two babies. 3 and a half. I don't think of him as a baby anymore, you know what I mean? He's a motor mouth now. Boot-de-boot, remember, at the picnic? 3 and a half and 1 year old. You know what? I'm so sure about this teaching, these kids aren't getting baptized. I just don't see it in the Bible. Ready? Ready for this? It's becoming my favorite part of some of the shows. Ready? Well, we're going to do this part of the show. AJ's imagination. So I'm about to baptize Izzy, and Jesus shows up and goes, what you doing? I'm baptizing Izzy. But that's something between Izzy and me, says Jesus. Well, I know, but I'm her dad, and someone once told me that I have to do it, and it means something. And Jesus goes, Well, actually, no. It's something you do after I mean something to you. So that's between me and Izzy, Dad. What are you doing? Oh, suppose it's a useless thing to do, because she's still going to be accountable later, right? And I pray, you know what? I'll be nice. I'm going to spend that time trying to lead her toward Christ in a decision for the waters of baptism. And I can't wait until the day when I get to watch Alex and Izzy be baptized. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful thing. It'll be of their own volition. Of their own volition. So guys, let that break off you. But also, kind of like AJ when I was 19, I realized, wait, I'd been baptized, but not of my own volition. I'd never made the decision. So let that settle with you. Let that settle with you. Where are we going from here? Oh, we do baby dedications. And very few of you remember Alex's. Do you, Walt? It was a huge fanfare. There was heavy metal music, F-15s flying over, cannons, you remember? Da, da, da. I was going to do the... And I didn't at the last second. I always regret it. I had the music ready and everything. It was like a 10... Chris, you were there, weren't you? It was like a 10-minute shindig of baby... But that's what we do. We dedicate babies and say this. We as a community are committed to leading you to Christ. That's all I have. That's all the authority I have in these people's lives because they have free will. So that's what we do as a church. We do not baptize infants. I've been asked, and guys, I can't do it. I can't do it. I love you. I can't do it. Sorry. So let's look at the sequence of events. The Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, everyone, this is to us all. Therefore, guys who've chosen to follow me, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So here's where we have a sequence of events, right? Conversion, baptism, teaching. I didn't say it, he did. Conversion, baptism, thank you, Brian. He's my right-hand man. As people come to the understanding of this, some are choosing to be rebaptized, and I understand that, a conscious decision to follow Christ, because something happened inside of me, and now it's time to have baptism, and the growth will continue after. And then there's growth. It's typically done in a public setting. In keeping with the biblical model, we will dunk and submerge. What about someone who's aquaphobic? That's a big word. If somebody's scared of water, guess what? You want to be sprinkled? Cool. That's fine. Like, let's not get weird about it. I'm not going to terrify someone and, you know what I mean? Traumatize them for life. If you want to be sprinkled, you can be sprinkled. But let's go back to Romans 6 for a second. The symbolism of it all. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized, into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. We're therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So it's a powerful moment, guys. We're getting ready to close. Baptism, just like everything else from the good, good Father, he gives us something and then he builds something in it for us. Do you know what I mean? Follow me on that. Like, we gather together and we worship God. We lift up his name. But it also does something inside of you. How good is Father God that it's that way, right? Worship is awesome. Even though it's for God, we get filled up. Like, he's so good, honestly, guys. Well, this is what baptism is like. It's your story is told. I know people don't like public speaking. It's the number two fear in the world. You know that? Number one is passing to the next world. Number two is public speaking. I get it. But it is, statistically, truly. Look it up, guys. Google. That's what I do. But it's a moment to tell your story, too. Because what we'll do is, when we're getting ready to do this baptism into new life, you just get a second to say, why are you being baptized today? And some people just say this, I love Jesus. Cool. Some people say, a long story. You share your testimony. Your testimony is shared and in a public way, and people celebrate with you. It's a big day for people. Baptism actually has things in it for us as well. It's a celebration of common ground with God and others. Tell you what, guys, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life I feel alone. And baptism, when I'm being baptized into a family, quote unquote, it reminds me that I'm not alone. It does. And there may be days when I have to think back to that and convince myself that. So baptism can be hard. I get it, but it's worth it, guys. And now here's the thing. We're going to spend the last 3 minutes doing this, okay? Some will say this, and I've heard this a lot. I'm not ready. And I would say this. If you believe in Christ and you're trusting him for salvation, yes, you are. You are. It's the perfect time. Some say, well, I'm not what I would call fully the person I want to be yet, you know? you're missing it. It's not about that, guys. That's not the right line of thinking. The right line of thinking, according to the Bible, is simply, okay, Christ, you are who you say you are. I'm trusting you to save me. Baptized. Then the growing process continues the rest of your life. It's called sanctification, being conformed to the likeness of Christ. Can I tell you where that kind of comes from? You ready for this? That's somewhat of an Amish faith thinking, where the Amish get baptized into the faith, and then all of a sudden the stakes are higher. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you screw up in the Amish faith, but you haven't been baptized into membership, you'll always be forgiven, the Rammspringer and all that. But if you're baptized into it and you do something real bad, then they boot you and shun you. That's not this at all, you guys. You don't work your way up to be where you want to be and then baptize. Well, I'm not fully committed. I'm not. No, it's faith, baptism, and then work that out the rest of your lives. I hear that so often. I'm just not ready. I'm not who I want to be. You don't clean yourself up before you come around Good Father. You don't do that. Good Father loves you messy, dirty, sees you for everything you are. Amen?
Amen.
And the same thing with baptism, you guys. Okay. One last thing I want to talk about. Sometimes, guys, in our American culture, not putting down this country per se, I love this country, you know I do, but what if it's not what's in it for me? What if it's about God? He said, go and be baptized. And I get this thought in my head, like, well, it is a kingdom, not a democracy, and the king told me to do that. So what if it's about him and not us? What if it's being baptized is about him? Baptism is an act that's outside of ourselves. It's obedience, it's testimony, it's kingdom work. So what if it's something you do because God told us to? Right? Honestly. You don't hear that a lot in churches today, but what if that's the truth? For all he's done in my life, when he asked me, when I noticed, go and be baptized, you know what I said? No problem. For all you've done for me, Dad? Like, even if you didn't hold me together when my father passed away, or the two babies that we lost, if you didn't do that and didn't lead me to my best life and my wife and my family and this job, even if you didn't do all that, but you saved me, you better try to keep me from getting in that line. For all that he's done, and that's why I'd been baptized 3 different times. Because when I learned, I did. And actually, you know what? The third time I got baptized, I had to pressure the pastor into doing it. So don't want to get baptized. Don't want to get baptized. So me and another dude were ready. And 20 people came out of the crowd that day. Because maybe baptism is actually not about you. You're right? The testimony? I was talking to Dave yesterday, and Dave said this. Being that it's a testimony, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Steph ironically says that today. We are ironically playing it for our third song. Power of our testimony is very important, right? Dave says, if I knew that me being baptized is what it would take for this person over here to put their faith in Christ or to be touched by the Lord. These denims are getting wet, man. These Wranglers are going underneath, bud. Right? Because baptism might not actually just be about you. It might be obedience to God. It builds a testimony and shines it for everyone else to see, and you never know why. So what if it's about God? Just an AJ thought, and then we're done. And I mean it. And it's just an AJ thought, okay? So check it. Baptism sort of reminds me of marriage. Some people in today's world don't see the value in it, and it kind of makes me sad. I'm not talking judgmental stuff, okay? I open up a newspaper, which you don't often do, and I see this dude about a month ago. And I was like, oh, that's the guy that works at the gas station, Valero and Potsdam. I'm like, he's a cool guy, he's always nice to me. He was gonna get married. And I was like, oh, remember that, you know what I'm saying? Next time you see him, bring it up. Because that's how you become a friend and love people, you know. So I walked up and I'm like, yo, you get married soon. And he's like, actually, it was 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, how was it? And he says, I said, what, dude? They got married down at Stockholm, Nap Station Church. And I was like, bro, what? He's like, yeah. I said, well, how are things now? And he says, well, all the same as before. And I'm not judging him. Like, I'm sad for him. I'm like, oh, man. And I thought to myself, wait. So standing up in front of everyone you love and hold dear, and committing to that person didn't mean anything to you? How about when she did it for you? Didn't mean anything to you? That's sad. Because I'll tell you what, it's one of the best days in history for this guy. When Melanie stood there in front of everybody she's ever loved and said, this guy. And you know what? kind of felt nice. I'm not joking. And number two, it gave me a time to go back to when the marriage gets difficult. Hello, that happens, right? But standing there, I professed my love in public. Sounds a lot like what we do with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we say, it's you, God. It's you. Oh, that gives me chills. That's good. That's good. That's what baptism is. I stand here in front of all you people and I choose Jesus. Yes, that's the only thing you remember out of today. I choose him. So, you know what, guys? This is about God. This is absolutely about God. And I'll confirm it by saying this. Typically, when I'm preparing a message, I get this like burden type thing going. Dave gets it. Where you're like, none of that. God basically spoke to me and said, just teach it. It's my thing. And whenever baptism happens, oh, you better believe I'm there. So get ready for next week's service, y'all. We're pretty much going to baptize. We're going to hear stories from people that if they want to share them, right? And we're going to rock this place out because when people are baptized, it's a big deal. It's a moment in history you get to go back to and say, that happened. That's my story with Christ Jesus, and I did that. There's something in there. And we could go on and on, but you know what? Some of it you get to discover for yourselves when you go under the water. And that'll be your story you have for the rest of your lives. Come on, worship team, let's get up here. We're going to sing, We Will Overcome by the Blood of the Lamb and the Word of Our Testimony. And like Dave said yesterday, they're inseparable. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.